Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me today. My name is Victor Schiller. I'm your host of The Quantum Communicator, and I'm really glad you're here joining me today. And today we're going to have a fantastic conversation about the power of music and sound. And whether you realize it or not, the power of music and sound has been known for thousands of years. And as a matter of fact, the power of sound and music is so profound that many have kept it a secret so that this information cannot be used for harmful or negative purposes. However, with the knowledge of how to use sound, a person can better connect with themselves and others and use it to heal physically or mentally and spiritually. And that's why I'm so delighted to be joined today by an expert on the topic of sound healing. Her name is Jill Mattson, and she's an author, she's an artist, a musician, and she's a widely recognized expert and composer in the emerging field of sound healing. She's written 4 books and produced 7 CDs that combine intricate sound healing techniques with her own award-winning musical composition. And Jill draws on her extensive research of modern sound healing, and she has a 20-plus year study of ancient civilizations and secret societies in music and lectures and workshops and writings. She's a fantastic resource and a wealth of information about sound healing. And so during this interview, what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the basics of sound, how sound can affect us, how sound is so powerful, how it can affect other people, how our voices can have an impact on our own feelings and on our own feelings of self-worth, and how we feel about ourselves, how our voices can have an effect on our own health, how it can have an effect on our relationships with other people, and also so many other areas of life. This was a fantastic interview, and I want to share it with you today. So without further ado, here's my interview with sound healing expert Jill Mattson. Jill, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to me today. I really appreciate it, and thank you for joining me.
I'm delighted to be able to share all about sound and music and words.
That's fantastic, and as I had told you before we started our interview today, I was so enthralled by this topic because I know from a very, very non-informed standpoint how important tone and pitch is in the conversations we have and the way we talk to people and how powerful music can be and what powerful effect music can have on people. And so when I came across you, I thought this is just fantastic and this is just phenomenal, and this is an area that a lot of people don't know about, and I think it would really help a lot of people to find out a little bit more about this general idea of how sound and tone and pitch and resonance can all affect us and can really tell us a lot about each other. Would you mind taking a few moments to tell us a little bit about what it is that you do and how you help people? What is your work and what is your mission in all of this that you do?
I am healing the world with my music and my written words. And deep in my heart, I'm a musician. Like every inch of me sings or plays an instrument. I have a lot of psychic skills, so sometimes I will simply hear music, and I almost feel like it's cosmic plagiarism. I'm just jotting it down like a secretary. But anyway, I guess I get credit even though I'm not sure it's deserved. So it's my journey started on a spiritual quest when I was searching for, actually through the Bible. I was unhappy with the Old Testament, and so I went into the Serpentine and then the Kabbalah and then into Sumeria and Egypt and China. And I went on this 25-year journey looking at everybody throughout time, the version of God, and I'm looking for the best and the highest. Anyway, as I'm doing this, I discover that ancient people are using music to regrow a limb, to double their crop yield. They're using it as a weapon. They're using it to create a romantic relationship or to improve their sales. They're using sound and music as a tool for everything. And it's just like, I don't know, my hair just stood on end. I would get so excited because it somehow run through to me. And if I could sum up all that I've learned, I would say this. Well, first of all, even before I do that, ancient man hid this knowledge because sound is an energy source that impacts us so much more than we understand. And they were aware that it can be used to bless and to uplift and enhance, or it can be used to kill, to make servitude, all kinds of nasty things. So they hid it, and it was fairly well secret. Only people that were in their, you know, the club, the mystery school, you know, you had to be accepted based in part on your values, so that they wouldn't give you this information if they thought you would selfishly use it for your own ends or hurt another. Sound can be used to kill, to maim, for example. Hitler was into this in another example. So it was very hard to find. But, you know, I spent 25 years going all over the globe and studying everybody from ancient China to all kinds of lore and stories about Atlantis to South America, Sumeria, Babylonia, all over. And I think I can break it down into what I do, which is what they do, very simply. And it all boils down to science. It's the law of sympathetic resonance. And that is, if I have a violin on my right hand and I play a string, that violin on my left hand, that A string's going to play. You don't touch it. It's just sitting there all by itself, and all of a sudden it'll start to sing. So the law, the scientific law, is that a frequency in close proximity, if the sound can, you know, touch because it's nearby, energy transfers. And this seems kind of simple, but we all know music makes us feel. So any type of emotion you have is a repeatable frequency. Feeling like you're ready to go and ready to jump into action is the musical note of C. Feeling abundant and healthy is the musical note of F. And ancient man knew this very, very carefully. And it also relates to your brain waves. They're cycles per second, alpha, beta, theta, delta. So, and it also relates to your organs. I have a new CD out, just hot off the press, with an ancient method of tuning your organs. It literally has the sounds of each organ in your body, and it teaches you how to connect, communicate, and share energy to keep them healthy. Ancient idea. So with sound, you can do everything. Think of them using sound to blast your kidney stones, for example.
Sure.
Or if you worry, you can have an ulcer bore a hole right in your tummy.
Mm-hmm.
And what ancient man did was they made science of it, and I do that in my Secret Sounds book. I work with Sherry Edwards in this case, and we go through the science of converting everything in your voice to everything in your body. On the realm of everything that's out of tune for your physical body, your health, but you can also take a look at your emotional habits and your unconscious emotional habits. Whoa. And others. And actually you can see certain tones that will attract you to people. So you can start to work with modulating your voice to create attraction, or to manage relationships, and take a look at people, other people's subconscious energy and values. Your voice is a fingerprint. And much like, you know, we have a crystal in the window. And the sun goes through and it breaks out into like a component rainbow. It's the same with your voice. You can use software, take your voice, break it out, and look at the pitch of everything in your body. You can see what's standard. So if you have diabetes or this or that, you can say, this frequency, this tone. And if you listen to those tones, you absorb sound. Oh, God, how cool is that?
That is cool. That's really neat. And there are a million things that are coming at me, you know, as you're saying this, and applications and just, you know, thinking of two different ways how I can utilize my knowledge of sound to connect better with people. But also, you know, when we communicate and we connect with people, it's about listening too, and it's about, about listening to the other person. And sometimes we have a lot of issues and a lot of problems that arise because we try to listen to people, but we're not hearing what they're trying to say. So if you don't mind, I'd like to kind of move over into that realm for just a little bit and talk about how we communicate and how we talk to each other and the pitches of our voice and so forth. And I'm thinking of two things. Number one, let's say someone's angry. And we can obviously pick up what that anger is by the inflections in their voice and the way that they're speaking to us. But also maybe there's this part of us that has learned or been conditioned to communicate with certain pitches and certain tones to get across something. So I'm thinking, for example, as a parent, when my child's not listening to me, you know, my voice changes when I'm trying to make it very clear that I want them to listen to me. So that's number one. And then number two is, can we use that information in a very user-friendly, practical way that anybody listening to our conversation today is going to be able to walk away and say, oh, I just learned that one little tip, and now I can listen for that, so I can listen to people a little bit better and maybe get to the bottom of what they're trying to tell me. So would you mind if we go into that kind of conversation, or at least on that tangent for a little bit?
That sounds cool. Okay, we'll start with listening. Hello. Now, I just used a word, and we believe that words are our content for our communication. But in those three examples, I used the word hello. I communicated three different messages, and none of them were hello, and you knew what they all meant.
Sure.
So in ancient times, it was like you almost wouldn't want to use the actual word because it's like a thumbnail or a cliff notes. You know, you get just the highlights, but you miss the rich complexity of the whole message. And really, the whole message is what listening is all about. And deep within all those different tones, people can't help it. No matter how much they try to lie or hide things, it's all in their voice. So when you listen, you really need to absorb the whole amount of sound. And you can kind of get little habits of different people. For example, if you break a voice into component pitches and someone's lying, they're not going to have the pitches A sharp and E. You know, so you can take it a science way, which probably most people aren't interested in. But you can also just take it a very practical way. For example, when people aren't telling the truth, they will kind of muffle the sounds in their mouth. It's kind of like you're going to burp. You know, you don't want to do it out in public real loud. You know, you kind of swallow it. And that's what they do when they lie. You kind of talk like this. You suck in that word, or you flatten out the pitch. There's no high, there's no... It's like people are sneaking it at you without you to notice, so it's trying to be as innocuous as possible. And so that's a very useful application, but even greater than that, I find, is that the issue of someone lying or not is like the tip of the iceberg again. The bigger tip when you're listening is the conscious mind versus the unconscious mind. Because most of us, our feelings and thoughts are in the unconscious mind. And I like the work of an Australian, David Oates. In the 80s, he had a tape deck it was broken, and he was lazy, and it was playing. And he noted that in reverse speech, at certain speeds, you have words in reverse speech. And he spent his whole life, and he's got a bunch of books out on it. But if you take the voice down a few pitches and reverse it, you'll find that you have messages, and they might be past hurts. Someone has hurt you, they haven't let that go. You're still nursing it, even though you might say, I'm fine. You might have some of your bottom lines, maybe a tragedy from childhood keeps playing, but there's all kinds of things that you have shoved away that are influencing you. And those things, whether you bother to take the time to take your voice down and reverse it, or even just get intuitive and start to listen to a voice and just say to yourself, what does that feel like? And you're going to start to get the bigger messages of what a person's saying. And it's also really good to listen to your own voice. Sometimes when I say something and it doesn't ring true to me, my name is Frank. See, all the deep tones, they dropped out because it's not true to me. So I think the biggest tool for me is to listen to my own voice and start to listen to my own truths. And I can do it very quite scientifically. As I said, there's numerous methods. But really, I think just paying attention and understanding that the greater message is in the energy, conscious and unconscious, that is completely holographically reflected in that voice. We just don't pay attention. I don't know. Does that somewhat help?
Yes, it does.
For the listening?
It
We're just talking
yes,
the
it does.
Listening part.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. It's a real hands-on kind of a way to think of it.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. That's great. That's very helpful. That's very helpful. And related to that is have you in your opinion, based on what you've come to know, do you believe that people it's getting kind of complicated and kind of cooking it up, but I'm thinking about a child who listens to a parent talk to them in a certain way with a certain number of tones through a certain number of years of their lifetime, and they does this get passed on to children? Do children pick up
yes.
on this pattern? And then does that have an effect on their health, their well-being, their life?
Yes.
I mean, how does this impact them then?
Wow, very insightful, very insightful. I'm going to tell you a fable that I read about. There's a lot of stuff coming from Atlantis, coming out of Central America and South America as they're beginning to interpret those kind of glyphs and so forth. Anyway, this is a fable, but forget the fact, fable or whether you believe it or not, just see if it rings true. In the times of Atlantis, they believed that the person incarnating picks their name. The reason why they picked their name is because it's an energy holograph. It's a signature blueprint. It's a sound you're going to hear your whole life. And not only are you going to hear others say it, but you're going to hear yourself say, my name is Jill. Jill. And so how does that sound, Jill, affect who I am? And it does quite a bit. And so this is, again, the ancient idea that within your name comes your most important gifts, which is what is the most important thing for you to do with your life? What's your life purpose? What are you going to do that's going to work out the best for you and blessing the whole world? That's what the ancients believed was encoded in the sounds of your name.
Hmm.
So then with that belief, if a parent were to go, Jill, you're a bad girl, or Jill, all those kind of ugly ways of saying my name, or Jill, when you're angry, people ingest sound. So if I fill up with a negative, ugly sound, if you will, clouding my life purpose, my blueprint, my essence, how do you think that impacts me if I hear that over and over and over again?
Mm-hmm.
And listen to most people when they introduce themselves. Here's an example. I'm Jill. Would you please like me? Maybe I'm Jill. Maybe I'm not. I can't even say my name without questions.
Yeah.
And that's very, very common. And so you cannot speak with someone without them ingesting your energy. Now, here's another example. Okay, let me think. In this voice, I am going to tell you what I need to do or am doing, and I don't expect you to interfere. Mm-hmm. Fair enough?
Sure.
However, if I speak in this voice, it's much dreamier. And I'm probably giving you dreams, ideas, and they're certainly malleable. I'm willing to have suggestions and conversation in this voice.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough?
Mm-hmm.
Would you be willing to say, hey, that's a cool idea. What do you think about this with the second voice?
Much more so, yeah.
Yeah. And so what I'm suggesting is, forget the words. The energy that we encode our words with is a far more potent form of communication than the actual words. Like, let's say you're angry and you're screaming at me. Alrighty? And I say, forget my words. I'm listening to the content of the quality of the voice. Oh, I see you're angry. I can understand that you're angry. And if I keep going on in this voice, I mean, I could even call you a jerk. But it's pretty hard to maintain your anger in this kind of watery voice. Fair enough?
Sure.
And so we can say things like, if a woman is being abused, she can simply learn to change her voice quality and start to set boundaries. And it's not as scary.
Sure.
You know,
that's
so
really
you
cool.
So yeah, there's so much that you can be the blessing as you walk down the street and speak to people by simply
sure.
paying attention to what you hear in their voice and then being what they need to balance. For example, if someone's sick, I don't feel good. Oh, I'm sure you'll be feeling better soon. It's a really good way to respond. If someone says, I'm frightened, you are going to be okay. Put that strength and power in your voice. Your voice, forget the words, will be something that other person ingests.
Mm-hmm. You know, what I'm noticing, Jill, when I'm hearing these different examples that you're giving, is that it seems like the fluctuation in tone is varying. So when you're when
mm-hmm.
you are when you're providing that very steady, not there's not a lot of fluctuation in tone. That's a very it seems like a very absolute of like a pillar like strength
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
or it might be intimidation. You know, you use that
mm-hmm.
example.
Okay.
But what I'm sensing is there's not a lot of variance in the pitch that you're giving. But then when you are using a lot of you're using this broad spectrum of tones in your voice that seems to, in some cases, open it up to being more communicative, being more understanding. But I've also noticed that there's also, depending on how it's used, the fluctuation in tones and the more of that spectrum of the tones that you're using can also portray someone as being weak or vulnerable.
Well, every tone in your voice can be used like in a positive or negative manifestation.
Uh-huh.
Now, as you so astutely pointed out, you know, you can be strong and not let someone take advantage of you, or you could intimidate with the same voice. So your intent is really important, and obviously, you know, you wouldn't want to use the negative intent. So,
sure.
And I would suggest, too, that the deeper tones tend to add stability and physical strength and health, where it's as you start to go up, it's almost like your voice mimics your chakras. So like you if you have the real deep bass tone, you're very rooted, grounded, and solid. And then as you go up in the sacral chakra, it's a little suggestive, going up into the chakra where the yellow chakra, with great confidence, into the heart, where you're very loving, into the throat, where you can speak to an audience and gain their attention, into your third eye, where it's very intuitive and dreamy. So that's another way of looking at it, is simply perhaps using your chakras as a toolbox. So if you want to be strong, throw in root chakra energy into your voice. And I have a CD on that. I have a CD that goes into the chakras. It's incredibly powerful, teaching you how to power up your chakras. What I did was I went through each chakra, and then I put the tones of the chakra, the rhythms, the harmonics, and then, a chakra is associated with the tone, a color, which is a pitch, an organ, which is a pitch, a crystal, which is a pitch, and I put all these tones in the background. It's very powerful. And with a lot of repeats, you simply memorize that, and then you can quickly power up a chakra voice, and then you use it as a tool for what you think needs to happen when you're speaking with someone.
That's really
cool. Forget the
word. That's really
cool. You do it subconsciously.
Yeah, and you mentioned your website a couple times, and I want to take a moment to stop here and just to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about yourself and your website and what you do. So would you mind taking a few moments just to tell us about what your website is, where people can find it, and what kind of things they can find on that website that they can access today, anytime?
Okay. Thank you first. At my website, jillswingsoflight.com, I have a half-hour free sound healing music and a newsletter and a lot of videos and articles. And with my music, and amongst the free sound healing music, I'm using ancient sound patterns that people in the antiquity who were clairvoyant could see light up your aura, which they would interpret it as, making you smarter, more emotionally balanced, and physically healthy. And I put them in the back of my music, so it lights up your aura, meaning it's like a feel-good, healthy on all levels. So I have several of those. And then I have music with the frequencies associated with vitamins, collagen, muscles in your face and the neck, very much like a spa, kind of tightening appearance-wise. I have them with emotional healing, with the ancient Greek catharsis and the frequencies associated with flowers or virtues. And a virtue is obtained by having a positive emotion often. That's a habit. And you can start to build virtues just by throwing music on in the background and you're doing something else. How cool is that?
That's really awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, all those things are available and you can listen and download the half hour free music.
That's great. That's great. And we'll before we finish our entire conversation today, we'll come back and we'll make sure that we get that information again one more time, because I know how I heard about you was through an interview that I heard, and then I went and visited your website, and I'm on your newsletter and your mailing list, and it's great stuff, and your website is fantastic. So yeah, we'll make sure we come back to that again, and I thank you for that. Let's jump back into what we were talking about with the voices, and we were talking about how we listen to other people and what we're hearing from people, and we started to get into a little bit about how we talk to other people, and my particular interest is in building connections with people. So when we communicate with someone, it's about trying to figure out what it is that they're not necessarily getting that they're trying to get across. And so a lot of times in my work, personally, I'm dealing with people who are struggling with someone else who might be labeled as abrasive or might be argumentative, and trying to work with these people. I'm thinking of a story, and it was something that you kind of mentioned. It kind of started talking about that, and then I just started chuckling to myself because it was actually a person I had worked with who one of the problems that I was working with this person was that their peers were saying to this person, this is in a work setting, their peers were saying about this person and to this person that this person was not very cooperative, and this person didn't like other ideas, didn't like other people's ideas, and so what was happening is a lot of people didn't enjoy working with this person, they didn't want to work with this person, they felt intimidated by this person, they felt like this person was shutting down their creativity and all these things. And so I had a conversation with this person, and it was a very interesting conversation because through our work together, I was trying to get this person around the corner and trying to help them see things from an alternative point of view. And it was very interesting because this person had said to me that they were very, very agreeable, but no matter how they agreed, how much they agreed, they still were running into the same issue. And it was funny because I was talking to this client of mine, it actually came through. And at one point they said to me, "Well, Victor, what do you want me to do? Just tell me, what do you want me to do?" And I just started laughing. I didn't laugh out loud to this person, but I was kind of laughing inside. And I did come out and say, "You know what? This is the problem. You say you're agreeable with your words, but the way you say it, you are not agreeable. You may say that you're agreeable, but you're not agreeable. So in your opinion, with someone like this who does this sort of thing where they resist change, they don't want to work well with other people, and I know what the deeper need is security in their job by being the one who has the information they want to, you know, they need to feel that they are valued, they need to feel that they're respected, they need to feel that they are valuable to the organization, so the organization keeps them around, and all these sorts of things, competent, it goes on and on. But what's going on with this person that they say they're agreeable, but they're really not? What's going on?
Okay. Not having heard their voice, I'll give you a couple possibilities. I would suggest, like you said, number one is the person that needs to be agreeable is themselves. You know, you can come out with the words, but we all know what it feels like. When you and I agree on something, there's a certain tone and a pitch. You can put a frequency or cycles per second on that, and it's always that way whenever we feel agreeable. So in order to have harmony in one's voice, to not speak, as Jesus would say, with a forked tongue, you need to say I'm agreeable and have the energy of agreement in your voice. And with that person, I'm just guessing here because I haven't heard them or worked with them, but I would start with them, is they have to accept themselves. Because another thing is when you're not agreeable, but you say you are, you put out dissonance, and if you get desperate enough, you also put out neediness, like, oh, like me, like me, like me. And when you put out that needy, needy, needy stuff, you usually push people away. Uh-huh. So for me, I'm going right into security and pulling the voice right from their solar plexus. I would bet that they do not have this type of confidence in their voice. They don't believe in themselves, so nobody else is either. Huh. And it's not on your words, it's in how you speak. Like, here's some more examples. What do you think of this suggestion? It's very approachable. How about this suggestion? It's not approachable. You know, so part of that is the second one, I had no energy coming from my sacral chakra.
Which one, the second one?
The second one, yeah. And because I had no belief in myself, in my energy fields, people subconsciously pick up no belief in me. And when they say I'm not cooperative, they're not even judging me. They're simply reacting to my subconscious message that I'm giving them. So you can say, you can even say it in your voice. You can say, somehow, if you don't believe in yourself, I'm Bob. Well, who's going to like Bob? Nobody. And then now Bob can say, poor me, all these people are picking on me. He's saying, please pick on me.
Sure.
So you have to be your answer. And when I look at all these ancient mystery schools, we're talking the ancient Egyptians, Chinese, all over. One of the most important ways for spiritual, personal, physical improvement is to change your voice. It is really hard. Look at all the people or women in abused, battered shelters. They go back and back and be abused and abused. It's very hard to change a personality. It's not that hard to change your voice. It's a matter of repeats. So if you could spend 10, 15 minutes and just start making a habit of changing your voice, you change your world, period. You listen to, get on the TV and listen to people who are rich. Listen to their voice. It's somewhat different than others.
Mm-hmm.
They're carrying it within, and they're carrying it within their voice. People want to do business with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, I can do a day workshop on using your voice to manifest. And here's another thing. This would be after, see, the person you, the example you gave me, I would say really needs to work on themselves before they worry about someone else buying into themselves. They have to buy into themselves. But after you had gotten to that step, another thing that I saw in antiquity was, it's an idea that's so foreign to us, it's like your voice is like a water pistol. And if you take your water pistol in, like, literally a water pistol, and you hit someone squarely in the face versus at an angle from the side, you get a little different impact. So they would design their angle of the flow of their speech. And one of the angles, and they would use their intent, because they would say that energy follows intent. So like if I have a voice which I'm intending to bless you, you're going to pick that up in my voice subtly, even if you don't consciously. Or if I'm, you know, if I'm going to, you know, have an intent to harm you, maybe your, you know, your spidey antennas go up and go,
mm-hmm.
So anyway, one of the things they would do is if they wanted to be included, they would, with their mind, they would create a shape with their voice, like in an infinity symbol or the number 8, between their voice and up and around through the other person's head. So when they're speaking, they're imagining this infinity symbol or this 8 of this energy flowing from them to the other in a very harmonious way.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely amazing how powerful that is.
That's really cool.
Great power in that. And that's again,
really cool.
These ideas you need to practice, because you listen to the radio show, cool idea, you think about it once and you forget it. It's got to be in your repertoire. You need to spend time on your voice.
That's very interesting. So let's just, I don't expect you to go into a deep, deep, deep discussion on this. But just for the average, ordinary person that says, you know what, I want to just have a little bit more confidence in myself, a little bit more, I want a little bit more success in my life. I want a little bit more fulfillment in my life. I just want to feel good. What are some things that you would recommend or even what tools do you have available that you can share with people? What are some things you could recommend to someone who just has that overall, just generalized type of ambition? To just make a small change in life where they wake up and feel a little bit better about themselves and better about life in general. What could they start doing with their voice to help them get to that point? Or isn't there anything that generally you can
do? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Alrighty, I'm gonna give you a bunch of answers. One might be to find people they really admire and uh-huh. copy their voices. Another might be, and again, this is in my Ancient Sounds Modern Healing book, but this is a very ancient method that's incredibly powerful. It basically says that we need to have all tones, all frequencies. So like if we're going to, this is ancient spiritualism, okay? If we're going to ascend, if we're going to go to enlightenment, we need light. We need all the colors of light. We need all of the component colors. So we need to master all of the emotions, all of the colors, all of the frequencies. We need them all. And when you look at the science and you look at my Secret Sounds book, which also has in the back of it about 5 chapters on these ancient methods of modulating your voice for specific benefits. But at any rate, so what they're saying is if you need health, you need all the tones in your voice. Mm-hmm. And again, back to the Secret Sounds, if you're going to look at your body health and your illnesses are going to be from lack of frequencies, lack of tones. And many people, when they try to do like a fire and sign, sound or a glissando, like woo, you'll find that the voice cracks all over the place.
It does.
Any place there's a crack, you cannot make a sound that's not in your body. Any place there's a crack or a weakness, frequency wide in you. So it's not just an emotional thing that you're working on healing, though you are, but it's also physical and mental.
Huh.
So in my Ancient Sounds Modern Healing book, I have the descriptions on how to do this ancient thing of toning. Ooh, and it can be quite specific, but it can take you 5-10 minutes a day. And basically what you do is you fill in the cracks in your personality and your health, the frequencies. And here's just an example, because people don't think like this. Niacin is a supplement that makes your face flush.
Yes.
So if I play the frequency associated with niacin, you don't take the supplement. You just listen to the sounds, okay? Your face flushes.
I love it. That's funny. That's great. That's awesome.
You know, again, I got the CBD with vitamins, sounds associated with vitamins. You absorb sound. Everything you eat has a certain cycle per second. And if you take a look at the math, like you look at your digestion, you go on PubMed and you get the chemical formula, biochemical formula for digestion, and if you put in the frequencies of all the things in your body, you'll see it's math and it works out per cycle per second as a sound wave. That's the whole ancient idea. They take everything as energy, and they see it not through chemistry or biology, but through sound wave interference, energy interacting energy. And if we could add this to our science, I mean, we would just improve our abilities a millionfold.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Purple. Absolutely. That's
and
really
also
cool.
I do workshops on the voice. Again, on my website, I try to remember to list them there. And, you know, if you're on my newsletter, twice a year I'll list my schedule. I don't like to overwhelm people with my stuff, but I will list my schedule a couple times a year. And I do a lot of workshops on the voice.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. That's really cool. That's really awesome. Jill, it's been a pleasure talking with you. And I know there's more things that we could talk about, and we're reaching the end of our time together, unfortunately. Because I really like this, and I really like what you have to say. It's not often that I listen to someone on the radio, and I'm like, that's something I haven't heard before. That's really cool. I'm going to write this down. I'm going to find this person, and I'm going to follow them for a while, and then I'm going to pursue them and get them and see if they'll join me on my show, because this is just fascinating stuff. And there are so many applications, I think, that we can use. And I also agree with you that, you know, when we're looking at this, we want to look at it as a tool that we can use to enhance our life and to better the world and serve other people, and then also realize that they can be used for other purposes, and be cautious of the applications that can be used to manipulate people for mm-hmm. our own gain and mm-hmm. the detriment of other people. And, you know, so I'm thinking of all these different applications and thinking, well, what if you want to do this? What if you don't want to do this? And some people might be thinking that, but, you know, in the same token, we have to remember that we want to use this to enhance our lives and the lives of others and mm-hmm. And use them in a beneficial way. Would you mind again, I asked you earlier, but would you mind again just telling us where people can find out more about you if this is very interesting? I know that you've mentioned your book, you've mentioned some audios that you have. Could you just run us through the gamut again of all the things that you have to offer on your website and how people can get in touch with you?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Victor. www.jillswingsoflight.com. I have a half hour of free sound healing music on the homepage, and that gets you a newsletter about every 2 weeks-ish on how to heal with sound. And my sound healing music, I sometimes feel the beautiful music. It's very celestial kind of music. And then I put in tone patterns that they used in antiquity and in different spiritual communities where they can see it raise your aura, heal certain things. It's very purpose-driven. I have some free music with nature patterns, it takes too long to describe here, but ancient man used sound for health, healing, intelligence, and emotional well-being. And I put those tones in the background. Then I have music on emotional healing, how to get rid of pain, how to get rid of, you know, anger, pick your different negative emotions, how to do cathartic release and pull that crap out, and then how to build in a virtue, the fastest way to change your personality. I mean, listening, you can throw it in the car when you're driving. How easy is that?
That's awesome.
And then I have one with vitamins and muscles in your face and neck and collagen. So it's kind of a theme of beauty. Feel beautiful about yourself. Make that your message. And then it certainly starts to uplift your appearance. Then I have CDs on meditation. I have ones to go in and teach you how to recognize sounds in your organs and how to start to put healing energy through your mastery of your body and conscious intent. The cosmic streams on how to tie in very powerful chakra energy at your disposal, and one for contacting angels, masters, and guides through sound. So that, videos, all kinds of articles, all kinds of cool stuff at JillsWingsOfLight.com.
That's awesome. Jill, this has been a fantastic an intriguing conversation, and I certainly hope it's not our last, because seems like a million. You said you could talk forever on this stuff, and I probably mm-hmm. could ask you questions forever on this stuff. So I hope this certainly opens up an opportunity for us to connect again and have another conversation like this in the future, so we can certainly dive into some things a little bit deeper and maybe. Get more specific on things and just hear what you have to say. I think it's fascinating. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Victor.
So there you have it. There's the interview. And I hope that you found that interview to be a fantastic wealth of information, give you some tidbits, give you some advice, some things that you can consider, some things that you can think about. She's a fantastic interview. She's got so much knowledge. And I really look forward to having her on again. And I did ask her if she would join me again on my show sometime, and she said yes. And so sometime late in the summer, early fall, I'll have her on again, and we'll dive deeper into some other concepts. But please, I want you to make sure that you stop by her website. It's JillsWingsOfLight.com and check it out. That's how I found out about Jill. I was listening to a radio interview about Jill, and then I heard about her and I thought, this is fantastic. Went to her website. I signed up for her newsletter. I get newsletters very regularly. I got the free audios, which are fantastic. Just check out her website. She's got so much information. She's got not only access to some healing CDs and books that you can use, but she's got articles. She's got videos. She's got information about some events and workshops that are coming up. And she has paintings and prints. And she is just so much information and so much fantastic value on this website. I really encourage you to check it out and find out more about Jill and all she has to offer. Thank you so much for joining me today on the show. I really appreciate it. You take care of yourself, and we'll see you next time on the Quantum Communicator Radio. Goodbye.